Sunday Meditation, December 3rd, 2000. Question today has to do with when we are trying to make a decision that we feel is important in our lives, especially for our spiritual growth, and it's necessary to wait and to be patient. We're wondering if Quo could give us some hints as to how to do this, how to take the important matters to the heart and to let them sit there and gestate and gain the direction that we need to follow and then make that direction known to us. And we're wondering if Quo could give us some ideas as to what does it mean to take it to the heart? How do we encourage our patience? And how do we discover what our direction is when it's time for us to find a direction?
We are those known to you as the principle of the pool. And do we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, his servants that we are. It is our privilege and our blessing to be called to your group this afternoon. And as always, we thank you for the desire for truth and the thirst for deity that brings each of you to this circle of seeking. It is a great service to us to be able to share our thoughts with you, for this is the service we hope to offer at this time, to share our thoughts with those upon your planet who might find some use in them. As always, we ask that each use her powers of discrimination carefully, for we are not authorities, but rather fellow seekers. And although we feel that we have experiences and thoughts that are worthy of sharing, we do not necessarily feel that our opinions are those that will resonate for other spiritual seekers in their particular patterns and processes. And so we ask you to discriminate for yourselves and leave behind those thoughts that are not helpful. The concept of discrimination is sometimes a difficult one for people who have been accustomed at times to feel that they perhaps are not entirely competent to judge in a particular area or even in general. Many are the factors within your culture which tend to disenfranchise spiritual seekers from trusting in their own opinion and relying upon their own powers of discrimination. The bludgeonings of that blunt instrument known to you as school create a respect for authority that is perhaps overstated. For in the terms we correct this instrument, in the realm of spiritual seeking, truth is not a matter of authority. Truth is not subject to proof. Truth is, in fact, in any linear terms, entirely subjective. To get to a spiritual truth, it first must be realized that this spiritual truth will be true only for you. It will not be true for another living human being. Truly, each spiritual seeker is looking at one unique pattern and picture in looking at the self. It is almost impossible to extrapolate from something that is happening to someone else to something that is happening to you. You are an unique creature. Your incarnational lessons are carefully put in place. Each within this circle has accomplished a good many years of processing information and achieving realization after realization, which has each in its own way encouraged, supported, and helped to move forward that process of spiritual evolution of mind, emotions, and spirit that each of you has thirsted for many years. And yet the process does not end. While life is extant within the flesh and bones of an incarnation, the learning process ripples merrily onward. Let us look for a moment at this process. One thing we would note about this process is that it has themes that recur. For each entity, there will be those incarnational lessons which cannot be identified quickly. The first time a crisis situation along certain lines comes up, it is overwhelming. There is so much confusion that there is no seeming place where a person may find a place to stand, a ground of being, a trustable foundation from which to look at the situation and the environment of that situation. The second time this same incarnational lesson recurs, it may be almost as completely baffling as the first time. We will give an example that is part of this instrument's process about which it already knows, thereby avoiding infringement upon free will. This instrument has an incarnational lesson in which it gives without expectation of return. It is so accustomed now to this theme that when a situation occurs where the entity is giving and is not receiving anything back, or is even receiving difficulty and resistance back from the loving offering of the self, this instrument simply becomes aware that the incarnational lesson is recurring again. And this instrument assumes then that it is recurring at a slightly different level, because there are nuances at this level that have not been covered before. And the pressures of spiritual evolution suggest further learning of these nuances. Therefore, this instrument is almost too willing to dash forward into the breach and serve that person who has no ability to offer a loving return that this instrument can recognize. Very well. In the case of this particular incarnational lesson, this instrument is unlikely to be confused for very long. When the cycle repeats, the lesson comes up again, and that wind chime of the emotions begins to sound its motif and make that certain sound that brings forth the emotions associated with this lesson. So you see, over the passage of time, learning occurs, and the level of confusion ameliorates, so that even though there is discomfort in the challenge of the situation, there is not an overwhelming level of discomfort and confusion. The ground of being remains, and this instrument is then able to call upon its faculties of will and faith. Now, we take the liberty of moving to the situation which faces this instrument, which prompted this particular line of questioning this afternoon. In this situation, this instrument is dealing with an incarnational lesson concerning what could best be called limitations. It is very easy, when there is more than one incarnational lesson involved in an incarnational plan, to become puzzled or even confused as to which lesson is actually being recycled. Therefore, in this particular case, one suggestion that we would give to this instrument is to spend time resting in contemplation of the incarnational lessons of limitation which this instrument has experienced cyclically throughout its incarnation. Much work has been done through the years in working upon this incarnational lesson. Work still needs to be done. There are nuances that need to be considered. This is absolutely normal for the progress of a spiritual seeker. It may not perhaps be completely standard that someone would choose more than one incarnational lesson. It is indeed a crowded agenda. However, each personality shell that is chosen for an incarnation comes with certain characteristics. For some personality shells, the characteristics include such a desire for working upon one shining goal, that the hallmark of the incarnation is simplicity and one theme that recurs to the exclusion of all others. For other personality shells, there has been what we might call spiritual ambition, the desire to learn more, the desire to progress at a more efficient and that which is seen subjectively as a more helpful rate. You will notice people with this type of personality shell overcommitting themselves in good deeds, taking too many classes for their own comfort in schooling, and otherwise tending to overfill the time allotted for each day with what this instrument would call good things to do. In neither personality type is there more excellence than the other. It is a simple matter of choice. Each way of approaching an incarnation has its advantages. Each has its drawbacks. For the entity with what may be called spiritual ambition, as well as for the entity who burns with one single flame or thirst, the dangers involved include coming to take this quest so seriously that the perspective of that ground of being is lost, and the seeker becomes overwhelmed with the details of whatever present situation has occupied the interest, the mind, the emotions, and the time of the seeker. Now let us step back and gaze at the actual situation. The actual situation is that there is no time or process or pressure to accomplish anything. Each dwells in eternity, and all that has happened, is happening, and will happen is happening now, all at the same time, in perfect harmony, in utter perfection, and with an elegance and simplicity of pattern that is stunning, or would be if the pattern could be seen in its entirety. There is no such thing as sequence. Space is an illusion. the bones, the flesh, and the mass of this particular incarnation are of an illusory nature that is very deep. Nothing that seems to be occurring upon the physical level has that kind of deep meaning that engenders fear, guilt, anger, remorse, and all the other emotions that this incarnation creates as an illusion for the learning of the student. In other words, each seeker has put itself in a school of illusion in which things seem to happen that are very strenuous, difficult, and uncomfortable in many ways. And yet, in the execution of these processes of suffering, there is no animus, judgment, or anger upon the part of the one infinite creator. The actual situation is that the one infinite creator is issuing a vibration that is the creation. That creation is made up of the one great original thought, which is the Logos or love. The creator is that love in utter, unpotentiated fullness. The creation is that love in its potentiated form and light in its manifested form. And each of you is a creature of love and of light, of manifestation and of Logos, of creator and illusion. And each of you dances the dance of creator, moving through the dream and the illusion of sequence and meaning and living and learning. And yet each of you is already everything that each seeks to learn. So the actual process of spiritual evolution is one of subtraction, of allowing things to drop away in order to get to the heart of each perceived crisis or crux, which occurs when an incarnational lesson or a derivative of an incarnational lesson recurs within the cyclical rhythms of the process of incarnation. Now, each entity looking at the possibilities of an incarnation upon planet Earth and an immersion into the illusion of third density was excited in the extreme about the extravagant possibilities for learning and for service that such an incarnation represents. Each, in great anticipation, set up what seemed to it to be very fruitful potential relationships, very helpful incarnational lessons that would sharpen the polarity of service to others, advance the evolution of mind, purify and discipline the emotions, and further the spiritual evolution of that soul, which the personality shell brought into incarnation is only the shadow of. Each of you felt fairly optimistic about being able to penetrate the veil of forgetting. For the truth was so obvious before incarnation. So penetrating. So perfect. How could we truly forget? And yet, the spirit comes into the flesh. The flesh comes into the world. And the voices of the world come into the consciousness of the incarnated being. And confusion begins apace. And so each in the childhood moves through a determined assault on the spirit. By the time that spirit has begun to become mature enough to be able to work through those layers of enculturation, the enculturation has become thick, dense, and difficult to penetrate. That surety before incarnation has become utter unknowing. This is the plan. This is the way it is supposed to be. Each within incarnation is supposed to become a true earth native. And the awakening from that sleep of earth is the hoped for result of that thirst with which each incarnated in the heart of self, that thirst to know, that thirst to seek, that thirst to worship, and simply to be one's deepest self. We speak now to thirsty people, and we say to you, while we cannot hand feed you water to quench your thirst, we can talk about the plan. The plan that we see for each of you. For we feel that beyond all illusion, beyond all sequence, beyond all linear proof, beyond all illusion of any kind, it may be trusted by each of you that there is a plan, a carefully created, thoughtfully worked out plan that was created by yourself and by Spirit for this incarnation. Everything that is occurring is part of the outworking of this plan. It is an organic process, taking in great scoops from anywhere in the illusion that comes into contact with the particular world of one seeker, that material which it needs in order to offer the various incarnational lessons in their various nuances needed as the cycles spiral and the learning and the process evolve. Therefore, what greatly aids the work of an entity in the midst of a perceived crux of incarnational lesson is not linear thought or analysis, but rather a relaxation of all non-emotional processes, a refraining from intellectual thought, and a program of repetition, of affirmation, having to do with awakening, supporting, and encouraging the faculties of faith and will. Let us look first at faith. What is faith? Many would like faith to be faith in this or faith in that. But we say to you that as far as we know, faith is the faith that all is well. It is not a belief. It is not a dogma. It is not complex. It does not have an object. Faith is an attitude of confidence that there is a plan, that the plan is working out perfectly, and that any difficulties that we are having with the plan are part of the plan. Therefore, no matter what the suffering, all is well, and all will be well. The only responsibility of the faithful entity then is to maintain that faith and to deal with the suffering in a way that has as much as possible of humor, patience, and perspective. For it is hoped that when it is seen that there is a plan, that this may release the spirit to dance within that plan, to look for ways to create style in responding to the nuances of the plan, in finding ways to inject humor and a lightness of being into those reactions to the plan. And above all, that ability to refrain from judging the self as stupid, unworthy, or otherwise less than a perfect partner with the Creator and Spirit in experiencing and responding to the love and the light of the One Infinite Creator. There may well be the concept that there are things to do that are part of the plan of incarnation. And may we say, it is never an incarnational plan to do, but rather to be. Naturally, when entities achieve greatly within the illusion, that is a cause for rejoicing. But that is part of the illusion. In terms of incarnational plans and incarnational lessons, what each seeker is working with are intentions, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. In terms of metaphysical seeking, it is not a matter of finding answers. It is a matter of coming to respect the questions. It is never doing. It is always essence. Faith is the willingness to abide in the essence of self, in the knowledge that the plan is good, and in the willingness to do the best that one can to interpret and respond to the situation as it unfolds. The actual decisions made are not that important. The intentions and the reasons involved for the decisions are important. Consequently, when the one known as Tom asked, how do we get these crises, these problems that cause us worry and the need for patience into the heart, we would say that the answer involves allowing those things that are not of the heart to fall away, and realizing that the issues are not in the physical world or the decisions made in the physical world, but rather the issue revolves around finding the most respect, the most honor, support, and encouragement for that heart of self that rests within the plan. We may see the plan as outfigured in that holy of holies within the heart, which holds the truth of being. In that holy of holies, the Creator dwells in its full original vibration. And the seeker, too, is there in its own heart, if it can remember to go there. With all of the buzzing noises of brain and intellect and thought, it is almost impossible to remember to go to the heart. It is only when there is a decision made to release the intellectual thought in the workings of the decision-making mind, and to move into faith, trust, and hope, and that the self can become silent, the mind can stop its chatter, and the self can use the key of silence to enter that tabernacle that is the heart. The beauty and the excellence of silence cannot be overrated in this regard. Often we speak of meditation, but we find that you, within third density, attempt to make a project out of this meditation and create complexities and difficulties within this practice as well, which is completely normal for those who are within the heavy illusion of Earth. We encourage all movements into silence, whether they be called meditation or simply sitting and soaking in the now. In any case, there is a release involved, a release of control, a surrender to a will that is the creator's and at the same time is the heart of self's will. And this brings us to speaking of will. For it is the faculty of will that supports faith. This will is an interesting phenomenon. It is created from the discipline of the dark side of self. To those who have not begun, we correct this instrument, who have not begun to work upon the discipline of the self and its personality, these words mean little. To the one who has begun to attempt to look at and to work with emotional and intellectual responses, and to begin to learn more and more about the self in this way, it will make more sense. For it will be seen that each and every seemingly negative characteristic of self has its own strength when it has been tamed and placed in a configuration in which it lies within the deep heart and self, acknowledged as part of the self, but disciplined as to its expression within the outer expressions of a daily life. This is not the same as the repression of unfortunate thoughts, for it demands that each thought that is seen by the self to be angry, or in some way unacceptable, is seen by the self as that which can be worked upon that which can yield fruit. That which can become that which it does not seem to be. In this work, the creative principle is used by the self not to tear the self down or to judge the self, but rather to accept the self as it is, to balance the emotions that seem to be unbalanced by seeing their opposites, and then to integrate that whole range of being represented by that seeming negative emotion into the universal self that is the Creator. For you and the Creator are truly all that there is. And often, much will be seen in the experience that is within that universal self along the lines of the dark side, as perceived by the self. Thusly, will is honed by forgiveness. As the self works on the self to come into self-acceptance, self-love, self-forgiveness, and self-worth, the one known as Janelle suggested that in a situation where there was a decision to be made, that an entity simply choose what it truly wishes to do. It may be seen that in incarnational lessons, the crises may have nuances that are so puzzling that it is not immediately clear to an entity what it wishes to do. However, we suggest that in these situations, the faculty of will be called upon to hone the desire to invoke faith. And then that the faculty of faith be called upon in order that the being may rest from strife and may find a peace that dwells in midair, in total unknowing. For what is patience but a refusal to realize that periods of unknowing occur and are acceptable? We do not suggest that any of this is effortless. We only suggest that it is a most carefully thought out and a most blessing-filled procedure. We suggest that each of you has created a perfect environment for learning and for service. That each of you has created an excellent plan, which is in effect. And that each of you will do well to create within the self more and more ability to invoke faith and will and to know that all is love, and even in the midst of suffering, all is well. Shall you die? Shall you live? Does it matter if you are moving along the lines of spiritual evolution? We ask each to trust. And we assure you that every force of nature and spirit wishes to help and is ready to express the hints and harbingers of synchronicity to speed the awareness of the truth. This instrument informs us that we simply cannot speak further. And we will even, with your permission, forego the usual further questions, for we are aware that we have spoken far beyond our normal time. May we have your permission to leave this instrument, or are there some questions which we would answer through the instrument known as Jim? We would ask the ones known as Jim, Linnell, and Tom to indicate.
I have no question.
I'm here.
We felt sure that this was the case, but we thank you for confirming that which we felt was so. We want to thank you for raising this question, which was very interesting, and for allowing us to speak through this instrument. We leave each as we found you in the most beautiful and ineffable love and creative light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as those of Akuha and humbly we say to you, Adine, Adine, Vasu, Ravas. Okay. Scott, Ethel, Anne, Judy, Ophelia, Spider Rainbow, Dana, Lynn, Mike, me, Poopy, Dana, Sonia, Stephen, Marilyn, Barr, Betty, Donna, Adela, Glenn, Kim, Kevin, Janet, Jonathan, Sally, Lenny, Marilyn, Sean William, Steve's dad, Cindy's dad, Steve's niece, and Sally. Any other requests?
Anna, Judy, Marilyn, Carla.
Nancy, Carla, Diane, Dylan, my son, my son, and my next husband.
Peace in our planet.
I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United. the circle and you are healing the united people.